Hey, good morning. Wake up, sleeper. It's time to go. It is Wednesday, September the 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We're going to have a good morning today. We're going to win the day by winning the morning. And even as we get going, I just want to keep before us our Jesus Manifesto Rememberization, a rememberizing challenge. And all that means is we just want to be saying Romans 12th chapter. We're just incrementally learning it by saying it every day. We're up to verse 2. Remember verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Okay, the whole of Romans is trying to get us to that place so that we can then get to this place, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. There we are. We're caught up. Now, in those two verses, you see the whole move: consecration, offer your bodies, transformation, be transformed, demonstration, knowing, doing, approving, testing, discerning the will of God. All right. Well, we've got a meeting with Jesus here. He's already here. He's like, when are you guys going to get to the consecration prayer? I'm waiting on you. Okay, Jesus, here we come. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Yeah, Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled, A Diatribe Against Self-Righteous Sinners. And our text, Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 24. Lean in now. These are complex texts. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now, you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law, and boast in God, if you know His will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you not dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The word of the Lord. Wow. All right. Remember the title of the entry, A Diatribe Against Self-Righteous Sinners. Well, there it was. Now consider this. Paul engages today in the practice of a diatribe. Permit me a bit of a diatribe in that same spirit. The deeper purpose of the law is to make us deeply aware of our need for God so that we have some possibility of actually obeying the law. I once heard a great man of God say, "The law was given so that the Spirit might be desired, and the Spirit was given so that the law might be obeyed." I want you to reflect deeply on that truth. The problem is the way broken human beings tend to approach the law with a "yes, we can" attitude. Show me the rules, and I'll show you a rule keeper. Show me a rule keeper, and I'll show you a moralist, which is someone who endlessly judges other people. Something in us wants to justify ourselves, to show we have the heart, mind, soul, and strength to do it ourselves, even in God's name. And then we want to hold others to this same standard. There is a word for this: self-righteousness, which is the world of honor and shame, of pride and pretense. It's the same world of virtue signaling and cancel culture. It is alive and well in religious and irreligious communities alike. Obey the rules and you are in. Disobey the rules and you are out. Disobey the rules while hiding behind your enforcement of the same rules on others, and we will make you a leader in the community. These kinds of leaders killed Jesus, and they're still trying to kill him. And these kinds of leaders are still among us. Their way of life continues to do violence to Jesus, all while they think they're doing him a favor. And yes, our churches are full of them. They are called hypocrites. The capital H hypocrites are the leaders, and the little h hypocrites are the followers. But from the first century to the 21st, they are all the same. One of the telltale signs you're dealing with a legalistic, hypocritical leader is they are always trying to, quote, control the narrative, which makes them impervious to correction, always finding fault and never owning it. In these communities, repentance is behavioral modification rather than relational realignment. And repentance is image management rather than identity reorientation. This is deep, guys. Paul knows these people because he was one of them. And in today's text, he starts by sparring with them, and then he takes off the gloves. He identifies them as the problem. He basically says the hypocrisy in the church is the cause of the unbelief in the world. Hear him now. You who boast in the law, do you not dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And in the tradition of Jesus, Isaiah likens such so-called righteousness to filthy rags. See Isaiah 64:6. Religious systems are notoriously deployed in the service of image management. The gospel is about a total renovation of one's identity. You see, Jesus hates image management. He only cares about deep identity formation. It's why his gospel is about the righteousness that comes from faith, from first to last. The problem is how a warning to the hypocrites never actually gets to them, because they maybe I should say we are ingrained to think that you must be talking about somebody else. Oh, geez, help us. So I think what I'm saying here is, could you be open to the fact that I may be talking to you? Maybe I should turn it around on myself. Could I be open to the fact that maybe I'm talking to myself? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's the prayer. Let us pray now. Jesus, we belong to you. Yes, Jesus, I belong to you. Jesus, you are the gospel. Not some doctrinal formulation, not some set of propositional truths. You, Jesus, yourself, embodied, ascended, crucified, risen from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God. You are the gospel. I want to open my mind and heart to you. I confess, I often want to appear better than I actually am, which is to say, I want to manage my own image. Thank you that you will not deal with my image, only my deep identity. Would you come in and completely renovate my identity so that I might be remade in your image to be a real, true, just, and merciful human being? That looks and feels like freedom to me. Come, Holy Spirit. We're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Journal prompts today. What resonates with you today? What offends you? Do you or have you seen these kinds of sin patterns in other people and communities? I want to invite you to identify that without judging. It's so tempting to judge. You know, Jesus is, he's also super keen on that. He's like, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and not recognize there is a log in your own eye? Reminds me of that little saying, if you spot it, you got it. What you see that you despise or criticize in other people, pretty good chance that's in you. That log in your eye is in fact what is causing you to notice the speck in someone else's. So I want you to be open to that. Just notice what you criticize about other people, how you're kind of maybe quietly judging them, and then be willing to turn that mirror around and see your own, see the very thing in yourself. It's hard. It's hard. Invite Jesus. That's what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit will do this in you. If you'll, you know, that's that refiner's fire. Just, he sits over the refiner's fire. He's pulling the dross off till he sees his own reflection in the silver. Well, we're going to sing today. Got Dad with me. It's good when we're singing today. Have thine own way. I am the potter. Thou art the clay. You are the clay. This is a good one. We're getting into the Romans. We're getting into the gospel of who is Jesus. All right, here we go. All right, everyone, it's time to sing together today. I think I've explained this to you before, that we're not singing to you. We're singing with you, right, Dad?
Amen.
We're singing with you.
Yeah, we need you.
We are considering ourselves as a choir together.
Right.
And guess what? We're not singing to each other. We're singing to God.
Praise the Lord.
So we're listening for you. We're counting on you. And we got a great hymn today. What do we got?
Have thine own way, Lord.
What's the page number?
Page number 343.
343 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Have thine own way. You're going to notice we're picking up the text of Jeremiah. I went down to the potter's house. And how the Lord, we got to get ourselves in his hands. The clay, the Bible says, the clay never tells the potter what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The potter tells the clay. And we are clay.
We're the clay. We're clay.
And his hands shape us.
Right.
For his purposes. You know, a person can do enormous good in the world. You ever know anybody that's just done a lot of good?
Yeah, it's several people.
That's who we're talking to today. The people we're talking to, in the hearing of our voice, you are doing enormous good in the world. It starts right at home, and it goes from there. And so today, this is kind of a consecration song. It's a transformation song,
mm-hmm.
and it's a demonstration song. You'll see it all in here. So it's number 343. We're going to sing all four verses. Have thine own
way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. What dost thou, Lord, wash me as one now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Powder and power, so it was done. Touch me and mold me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with my spirit till all shall see Christ only always living.
You all right?
Yeah.
Fill with thy spirit till all shall see.
Amen.
Christ only always living in me. That's the goal. You know, he makes the vessel. He forms us into a vessel. And then he pours his spirit into us. And then Jesus Christ himself rises up in our lives and moves through our lives to others. That's the gospel. That's how the gospel works. That's mm-hmm. how he moves. Well, Dad's got his hat on. He's ready to get on the field. I have a sense. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Got good to do today.
Right.
So, for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we'll see you
on the field.
See you on the field. Can't wait. It's going to be a good Wednesday because Jesus is going before us. He's coming behind us. He's with us. He's filling us. He's going to live his life through our personality, our life, our day. All right, here we go.